Can you hear it? Yeah. I'm just looking at all the beautiful faces. Can you just put it down a bit, Andrew, please? Thank you. Well, good morning. Welcome to Paignton Baptist Church. Whether you are here in person in the sanctuary today, or whether you are listening to this service later via our church website, you are most welcome here. My name is Debbie. I'm Pioneer Minister. Our lead minister and his wife are on holiday today and this week, and we wish them many blessings this week. And later you'll be hearing from David, who brings the message of God's word to us this morning. But first, some notices, because as Stephen would say, we are alive. So, the first thing is, we would really like to thank everybody who got buckets, including small children with small buckets, and bailed out the baptismal pool last night. Oh my goodness, look who's come to church! Aren't we blessed today? Good morning, Spider-Man! And, thank you so much for everybody who helped. It really was a blessing. And thank you for all the people who took the water up to the garden. It really made a difference to get the garden watered and the water butt fully filled, so thank you. And thank you to Joan for organising safeguarding training yesterday. I know lots of people attended. There were actually 22 people who attended, including 3 people from other churches. And it was for anybody who was working with children and vulnerable people in our church across the week, and all of the deacons. And I'd like to thank you all for attending as well. And if anybody left their notes behind, Joan has got them. Last week, many of us were privileged to witness and join with a service of believers' baptism for Andrew. We heard powerful testimony of how God has been working in his life and his declaration of Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. If there is anyone who has been nudged by the Holy Spirit last Sunday or in the week to think about being baptized themselves and would like to know more, please be brave and speak to myself or someone else over coffee after the service. In the Baptist church tradition, we celebrate 2 ordinances, 2 sacraments, baptism of believers and the sharing of bread and wine at the Lord's table in memory of the Lord's Supper. And today is the first Sunday of the month, and there is an opportunity for us all to share bread and wine as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and remember all that Jesus did for every human on earth and still does for each one of us when we place him in the centre of our lives. So I wonder, why have you come here today? Who or what led you to come through the door or switch on the service at home today? Maybe you know, maybe you don't. Maybe you suddenly found yourself sitting in a seat here. Perhaps you feel surprised that you wanted to come today, and that's okay. The fact that you are here means that the Holy Spirit is at work. So what are you hoping for today? To find answers? To learn about Jesus and the Bible? Maybe you're hoping for an encounter with God, with Jesus, our living God. Perhaps perhaps you've been drawn here to be refreshed and renewed, restored and restoried in the company of brothers and sisters. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So maybe you are searching for a place to find refuge from the world and its trials, to be in a quiet, safe space where it's okay not to be okay. Whether you know or don't know, you are welcome here. Let's take a moment to come fully into this space. Put away the busyness, all that has happened this morning, all the challenges of daily life, and bring yourself fully into this space. To become fully present, here, now, without feeling you need to leave part of yourself outside of the door. In God's eyes, each one of us is fully known, fully loved, fully wanted by God, whether we trust it or not. He wants us, even if we don't think we need or want him. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So gently step away from all the labels of the world and all the expectations that come with them. Brother, sister, son, daughter, father, mother, husband, wife, friend, lover, parent, employed or unemployed, retired, a student or teacher or leader or searcher. Put all these aside and make space for the person you were created to be, a child of God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this space. Come amongst us now. Restore and refresh us. Soften our hearts and open our minds. Empower our ears to hear your word and our eyes to see more clearly who you are, Jesus, and who you want us to be. Teach us how to fast and how to pray. Show us what to set aside. Help us to worship you through songs and service. Prompt us when to act and when to be still, when to speak out and when to be silent. And above all, Lord, help us to live out your word, and in doing so, be a powerful witness to your work in our lives and the lives of others. Whether we meet with you for the first time today or have known you for much of our life, we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So, let's come into the presence of God in Trinity, three in one, our Father Creator, Jesus Christ the Messiah, Son of God, Redeemer and Saviour, the Shepherd who sees you as a precious lamb, who chose to suffer and die to free us from sin and tear down the barrier between us and his Father. And finally, God, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, a precious gift to the world, a promise of things to come, our helper and encourager and protector. There are many ways to connect with God. And one of the ways is to sing. It's a great way to banish the enemy. It's a great way to banish those things that are meddling with us. When we sing, we are joining with God. So feel free to sit or stand, to dance or move around, to grab an instrument. Whatever you would like to do, let's prepare to sing. Claire's going to help us today. And Eileen's playing. Thank you. As we lean towards God, he reaches down to us with arms outstretched. He is never too busy. So let's show us that we are waiting here for him. Everybody, if you'd like.
Thank you.
here for you, Lord. We're reaching out to you. And as we do so, we turn our eyes to you, Jesus. My soul, if you are weary and troubled, if you see no light in darkness, there is light if we look to you, Jesus. A life of abundance and freedom. I see it as God's engagement ring, a very precious promise of things to come in the future when we join with him as the bride of Christ. Let's call on the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh on us.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of
anyone who has something that has been put on your heart while you're singing, please share it if you would like to.
Dear Father, I'd like to say something. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning to see that God is moving in this place. What would I have done without you, Father?
Yes,
you are a wonderful, marvelous God.
Thank you, Lord.
A God who cares for his family.
Yes, Lord.
And for each one of us.
Thank you.
We've gone through a rough time, Cindy and I, but we have come through it so hard.
Thank you, Lord.
With your help and your guidance and your love, I found you, Father, well and truly in this time.
Thank you, Lord.
I know Cindy's not well, and I'm praying for her now. She's in the cottage hospital fixing. And we have time together still. In that little place there, fixing, they have a small garden in the back. Cindy and I sat in that garden yesterday afternoon. The Lord walked in.
Thank you, Lord.
We found his everlasting arms surrounding us. Do not fear, children, for I am with you. I never let you go. Have I? No, God, no. Oh, Father, I just come humbly to you. Thank you for this church. So many have gone since I passed. Those I know have gone to you. Such wonderful memories. Please, God, just bless this church. Bless all of who's coming. May they find the peace of God, which just is so amazing for them. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your support. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Colin.
God is so blessed with the unity. It's like precious oil tipped over the head and dripping down. And God would say that each of us are unique. None of us have been put into a printer and the printer's come out identical. We are all unique, and there may be someone in this room who thinks that they are not precious, that they are not important, but there's no one in this church that is the most important. We've all got this unique gift that God has given to us. And if we use them and we're united, the main thing in this world that we live in is that as a church we're united. All the churches are united, because alone we'll fail, but together we'll conquer. We're strong. That's why God said in the psalm that he's pleased and blessed with the unity.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And help us. Help us with all our different characteristics and nature, that we blend together, not pull apart, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you've helped me to deliver what you really want us to know, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When it's a communion service, we have two offerings. We have an offering that is in the box, that people can put into the box just by the door as you come in. And that is our communion offering that is used for the needs of others. Sometimes it's an external charity. Today it's collecting for our benevolent fund, a fund that Stephen manages in a confidential way to bless people who have got a need. So if anybody would like to contribute to that, there's no requirement, but if anybody would like to contribute to that, the box is outside. But we also have an offering collection within the service for a resource to be used for the kingdom of God to be grown. And again, there is no expectation that you put something in that offering, especially if you are a visitor today. And some people will contribute through the bank, and some people will contribute through service, and that is just as precious to God. But this is an opportunity to take up the offering if anybody would like to put something in the bag. So maybe our collectors could come. Ask you to bless and multiply this gift. And thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to be part of your kingdom growth. So bless it and double it, treble it, whatever you choose to do, Lord. Your will be done. Amen. So, I think the children have got a real treat today, because we've got Rowena and Dee who are leading children's work today. So, shall we bless the children and bless Rowena and Dee, and we hope they have an amazingly happy time, but also that they learn from each other. So, Lord, I ask you to bless this children's work. Let everybody involved have an encounter with you through it. And, Lord, hold our children safe. They're so precious to us. Thank you, God. Amen. Connie, are you going to go with me? Dave is going to be speaking to us about how we live our lives and what we choose to fast from. So before he comes up to speak and we hear our passage from Zechariah today, let's just sing together, "Suffer My Heart, Lord." Lord, as we hear your word today. And bless Ollie as he reads, and David as he prepares to speak.
Good morning, all. Our reading today is from Zechariah 7, which can be found on page 953 in your church Bibles. I hope you're all enjoying my socks as well. Justice and mercy, not fasting. In the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. The people of Bethel had sent Shariza and Regem-Melech together with their men to entreat the Lord by asking the priests of the house of the Lord Almighty and the prophets, "Should I mourn and fast in the fifth month, as I have done so for many years?" Then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. "Ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months of the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets, when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous, and the Negev and the western foothills were settled?" And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. "This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other." But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly they turned their backs and covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. "When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen," says the Lord Almighty. "I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land they left behind them was so desolate that no one traveled through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate."
David, can I pray for you before you speak? Holy Spirit, place words in David's mouth. Empower him to give the message that you wish us to hear. And bless him as he is your voice today. I ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's really good to see you this morning. You may remember 2 weeks ago we considered Zechariah chapter 6. And Stephen taught us two main things. God is reaching out to everyone all over the world. You might remember there's a picture of three chariots going outwards. God is all the time speaking to people. And secondly, Joshua was a picture of Jesus, who is both king and priest. Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. Hallelujah! We are forgiven all our sins through Jesus Christ taking the punishment for our sins on the cross at Calvary. And my whole life, and I guess many of you, your whole life is based on that simple fact. So this morning's chapter, chapter 7, has two challenges. How do you and I treat other people? Mm-hmm. How do you and I respond to God's word? And there's two sort of overarching points. The background to today's story is that some of the people of Israel had returned to the city of Jerusalem. The people had been thrown out of their land because they ignored the clear word of God and turned to worship idols rather than their own God, the Lord Almighty. The temple was about half built, and we're given a precise date in our present dating system. Apparently, it's the 4th of December, 518, BC. So we're no doubt it happened on that date. Further evidence, the Bible is a very precise book. The people approached their leaders to know if they should continue their regular fasts to remember the fall of Jerusalem. Now, this fast was an institution. They'd always done it that way. They carried on for about 70 years. But Zechariah's reply must have surprised them. Look again at verses 4 to 7. If you have a Bible open in front of you, you'll find it helpful, because I've been looking at just this passage. It's on page 953 in the Church Bibles. So, verses 4 to 7. The word of the Lord came to me. Ask the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? And when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting for yourselves? Are these not the words the Lord proclaimed through the earlier prophets when Jerusalem and its surrounding towns were at rest and prosperous, and the Negev and the western foothills were settled? So Zechariah challenged the people, is your fasting to enable you to come closer to God? Or is it just for your own pleasure, eating and drinking? Who are you living for? Do you know, even prayer, fasting, and going to church must be motivated by seeking God's face and please him. The message puts it rather clearly. When you hold feasts, was that for me? Hardly. You're interested in religion. I'm interested in people. In the case of these ancient people of God, their spiritual activity had not met the test. How do you treat other people? So let's see what it means. You look at verses 8 to 10. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. So there are four tests in this verse. Firstly, am I totally just? Am I totally just? It might need a second click on the thing to bring the point up. In other words, am I totally honest? Am I straightforward and fair in all my dealings with others? Am I ever less than completely honest? Do I administer true justice in my day-to-day life? And the next point, that's probably another click actually, I think. Yes. And the next point is my life characterized by mercy and compassion? Someone's going to describe you. Would they say, oh, they're so merciful, they're so compassionate? The Lord Jesus commands us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. It might be useful for us to spend time remembering all the very many sins we have been forgiven. I need to remind myself, I am totally forgiven all my sins. My open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be. Refreshed by this realization, I'm then in a position to forgive every sin others might commit against me. We have been forgiven a lot, and those who have been forgiven a lot give others a lot. Let's be those of forgiving people. Paul puts it well in Colossians. He says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The third test is, am I generous and kind to those in need? In particular, the widow, the fatherless, the outsider, the immigrant, the asylum seeker. You know, it's very easy to justify wrong attitudes, but the Bible is very clear here. We are those who are to be kind to those who are in need. James, the brother of Jesus, puts it this way. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And the fourth test: how do I secretly think about others? What's your thought life like? If I do something secretly, I don't tell anyone about it. To have integrity, I need to have a thought, not to have a thought that I would not like others or God to know about. Proverbs says this, one of my favourite verses: above all else, guard your heart, guard your thought life, for everything you do flows from it. How is your thought life? Do I ever despise or look down on others? Do you and I ever judge others? Jesus is very firm on this point. Don't judge others and God won't judge you. Don't be hard on others and God won't be hard on you. Forgive others and God will forgive you. Oh, I guess for some of us listening to my voice, that might be really, really hard. I'm not being glib here. But God does want us to forgive. So, four tests of how we treat others. Am I totally just and fair? Am I always merciful and compassionate towards others? Am I generous and kind to those in need? Do I ever secretly look down on others who are different to me? I love the verse in Micah that summarizes these truths. It says this: he has told you, O man or woman, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Walking humbly with our God is a secret of living a life which is both just and kind and merciful. You and I need to share our lives with God Almighty, and he'll give us the power to please him through the power of his Holy Spirit. The ancient Israelites made the Lord angry about how they treated others. Please, Lord, help you and I to learn from their mistakes. But this passage is another thing. The other way to make the Lord angry, and believe me, you don't want to do that, is to ignore his word. Listen to what the Lord says about his people, how they responded to his word. If you look at verse 11 says this: they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs, covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord was very angry. The Israelites refused to obey God's word. Notice the progression. Refuse to pay attention. Then turn your back. Then cover your ears. Then make your heart as hard as flint. Flint is really, really very, very hard, by the way. Then refuse to listen to God's word. Now, we as God's people need to do the opposite of this, ignoring God's word. We need to pay attention. Tell them a teacher, kind of. Or used to be. We need to pay attention. Wake up in the back there. Turn to face the Lord. Open the ears, our ears, to all the Lord is saying to us. When I come to a service, I try and ask the Lord, please teach me one thing. Show me one thing I need to learn from this morning. Ensure our hearts are soft and responsive to God's word. And finally, listen to God's word. Intent to put it into practice. So, five tests. How do you and I respond to God's word? Do I pay close attention to the Bible, which is God's word? Do I turn my face towards God's face? Do I listen carefully to God's word? Do I seek to maintain a soft, responsive heart to God's word? And do I do what God tells me to do so promptly? Somebody once said, delayed obedience is disobedience. That's a challenge. So how do we do this? Do we listen carefully to God's word when it's explained or taught or preached to be doing this morning, so we can put it into practice? Do you pray for your preachers, please? Do you put it into practice? Jesus was very firm at this point. Do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do what I say. Do make time to daily hear or read God's word. As Joshua was commanded, Joshua became leader of God's people. And here's a wonderful command. Keep this book of the law, that's the Bible, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. That means chew it over, think about it, read it more than once. Think, what does this really mean? So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do you want to be prosperous as a Christian? Do you want to be successful as a Christian? Read God's word and meditate on it, and then chew it over and do it. I have a farmer friend who said, how do you tell a healthy cow? A healthy cow is one that ruminates. Now, not a very nice picture, this one, so sorry about this. But a healthy cow ruminates, it digests, and then it regurgitates, it chews it over again and again. That's how you tell a healthy cow, apparently. If you're a farmer here, please correct me if I'm wrong. But that's how you tell a healthy. How do you tell a healthy Christian? One who reads God's word and ponders it, thinks about it. It's not, God's word is not a pill, it's a meal. It's not a, oh, that's out of the way. God wants us to read God's word and to ponder it. Do we turn our back on what God's word clearly teaches? Continually turning our back on God's word has disastrous effects on our spiritual lives. Continually turning our nation's back on the clear teaching of the Bible will have a terrible effect on our nation's spiritual state. Let's obey the challenge of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, am I, are we, regularly listening to God's word to hear what he's saying to us, and are we doing what he tells us to? God continually speaks to his people. How tragic we're not giving time to listen. As the Lord Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now you're saying, well, does it really matter if we don't listen to and obey God's word to us? Definitely, yes. Finally, let's look at the end of verses, I think verses 14 to 17, at the end of our passage. Verse 13 says, when I called, that's the Lord Almighty, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land they left behind them was so desolate that no one travelled through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. You know that historically, God's people, the Israelites, were scattered across the world. Why? Because they didn't hear God's word. They didn't do what it said. And because they didn't listen to God, God didn't listen to them. May you and I be obedient children. Always good to have obedient children. Who listen carefully to God's word. Let's ponder it and obey it. So, two main thoughts from Zechariah chapter 7. How do you and I treat other people? Am I totally just and fair? Am I always merciful and compassionate towards others? Am I generous and kind to those in need? Do I secretly look down at others who are different to me? And secondly, how do you and I respond to God's word? Do I pay close attention to the Bible? Do I turn my face towards God's face? Do I find what pleases him? Do I listen carefully to God's word? Do I seek to maintain a soft, responsive heart to God's word? Do I do what God tells me to do promptly? Now, when I was reading through this, I thought, wow, that's challenging. But you know, there's a balance, isn't there? You see, as well as the fact that God does challenge us, and he will challenge you and me, I hope, through his word, he also knows that we're human and will help us. I love Isaiah 1 verse 18, where we read, come, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. We all do wrong, speaker and, dare I say, listener alike. But God offers us through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ his total forgiveness. As John 1:7-9 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, that's when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for us. His blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we don't deceive anybody else, but we might deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, I love the verses, Matthew and Micah, one of the minor prophets, Micah 7:8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. So God offers forgiveness to those who turn to him. Shall we pray? Holy Father, thank you for your word. Thank you it doesn't pull any punches. And thank you that it's very clear. I pray that you will help each one of us, Lord, to hear the particular verse or point that you want me, want us to respond to this morning. But most of all, Lord, we pray for each of us that we may know your total forgiveness as we confess our sins and claim your promise that you are faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen.
Just take a moment to let that seep into you. And David's chosen a song to respond to that word. It's Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. If you'd like to stand or sit, whatever is most comfortable for you. the silence, speak to us, Lord. Show us what you want us to know today. Show us what you want us to see today. And help us to treat people with justice and mercy. Lord Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to remember who you are and who you wish us to be and not to be. Show us how to step out of the driving seat and to make space for you. Remind us how to live out God's message to us about fasting. The kind of fasting from the world that you demonstrated through your life, your actions, your teaching, Jesus. Help us to remember the word of God, originally disclosed to Israel through the prophet Isaiah all those years ago, and the promise of blessing that comes with it. The word says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of God the Lord will be at your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Build your kingdom here, Lord. Our call today to the Lord's Supper is hungering for justice. Everybody would like, who's serving would like to come up, please. Hey, would you like to sit here, lovely? Some of you may not have taken bread and the wine before. Maybe you didn't feel good enough or maybe you haven't felt welcome. None of us here today in this room is perfect. We are all flawed people living in a broken world. We are all a work in progress. Yet God loves us, flaws and all. And if there's a small spark in you that says, yes, I believe that Jesus, God in human form, died for me, please trust that you are welcome to share the non-alcoholic bread and wine with us today. And if you don't feel ready, that's fine. Just let the bread pass, the wine pass by you, and trust that you are still welcome here. If you're a parent and the children come in at the point where we're serving, you will know your child's heart for Jesus. And you will know if they are ready to share the bread and wine as well. So as you listen to the gathering words and invitation to come to this table, let your heart lead you. Gather us in, Lord, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, Lord, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at this feast. Gather us in, Lord, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers and shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in, from the corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excuses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, to be given a seat, to be joined to the vine, be offered new wine, become like the least, to be found at the feast. Gather us in, Lord. And this is God's invitation. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. And it is to be made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come if you have much faith or if you have little. If you've been here often or if you have not been here for a long time. If you have tried to follow and if you have failed, come not because it is I who invite you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Before we approach the table, it's good for each one of us to spend some quiet time listening to what God might want us to notice, so that we can make things right with him. Through confession of our sin, our debts, we automatically receive his forgiveness if it truly comes from our heart. And if someone has sinned against you, has hurt you intentionally or unintentionally in word or thought or deed, ask God to help you to fully forgive that person. And in this way, we can come to the table with a clean and forgiven heart. Jesus, in this way, you open us up to shalom, God's perfect peace. So as we listen to some music now, I just give you an opportunity to reflect. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. And while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' command and example, we take this bread and wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ makes special. And John tells us that before they shared the bread and wine, and at that Last Supper, Jesus prayed for himself, for the Lord, for the disciples, and for the whole world. So let's do that now. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful. These you deserve, Lord. For when we were nothing, you made us something. And when we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we were lost and we'd lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms were wide open in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed and blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise, Jesus. We can have a chance to say some words together now. And in gratitude, we join our voices when they come up. Thank you. In gratitude, we join our voices to those of the church of earth and in heaven. And we say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Do you want to say something? Joan's going to pray for us.
As we come to share in this meal again, Lord, we want to thank you for willingly dying for us, for taking the punishment which we deserved. We remember the great cost, how you suffered rejection, humiliation and pain at the hands of those you came to save and redeemed, and ultimately separation from your Father. From the words of a chorus, Lord, words can't express, not even in part, the debt of love that is owed by our thankful hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Among friends gathered around the table, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body. It is for you." And later, he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me. So let's just distribute the wine and bread. If you'd like to eat the bread when you receive it, that is wonderful. And then could you just wait and we'll drink all together. It brings us all together as one body. Thank you. In bread and wine, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. As we drink together today, we also use this opportunity to remember all those who can't be with us for whatever reason. This cup we drink together is the wine of the kingdom of God, the sign of God's undertaking for the life of the world. Let all who seek Christ take and drink. Christ, who has nourished us, is our peace. Strangers and friends, male and female, old and young, he has broken down the barriers to bind us to him and to each other. Having tasted his goodness, let's share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Just turn to the person next to you. Share. gratitude and the peace with that person. Peace of the Lord be with you, Amy. Song. Guardian, as we go out to our front lines now. I ask you to bless us, keep us strong, help us to be holy and whole. You make us whole and holy, Lord. And above all, Lord, at this time of walking in your footsteps and with you as your hands and feet, I ask you to offer us protection. So let's say the grace together to finish. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. And with the ones we love. Amen.